I'm Henry Banks, senior producer and host of People of Color on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up in a few minutes, Jack Perkins. He's the executive director of the Twin Cities Community Gospel Choir. Also on the show, a conversation with Danielle Trujano about pathways to clean transportation. All of this and more coming up on People of Color with Henry Banks after this news. People of Color is produced by Elliot Spirit.
Hayward's Park Center presents the Twin Cities Community Gospel Choir and a matinee performance of African American gospel music. This performance will begin at 3 p.m. in the afternoon on Saturday, June 8th. The Park Center is located at 15791 U.S. Highway 63 in Hayward. For more information, contact theparkcenter.com.
Good evening. Welcome to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Henry Banks, and I am so honored to have on the phone this evening Mr. Jack Perkins. He is the executive director of the Twin Cities Community Gospel Choir. They're based, in St. Paul, Minnesota, and they are going to be coming to Wisconsin, to Hayward, Wisconsin, this weekend. And so I wanted to get Mr. Perkins on the phone to, first of all, welcome to the show, but also to ask you to give our listeners a brief history of the Twin Cities Gospel Choir.
Henry, thank you so much. It's a privilege to be on your show. We are excited about coming to Hayward. We are definitely looking forward to it. The folks at the Park Center have been great, and we're anxious to be there. We have been around. We're getting ready to start. Well, we're still in our 29th season, so we're coming up really close. At 2020 will be our 30th year. So we are looking forward to that. It was started as a project at what's now Metro State. But it was a community college, and a man named Robert Robinson, who a lot of people are familiar with, he was asked to come and teach a class there at the college, basically put together a gospel choir. And they did that. And as he was asked to go perform from time to time, he would take his class with him. And that's how the choir came to be. And Robert ran the choir for 20 years and had a lot of success, mostly, you know, his talent, everybody else's volunteers, and we all come together. In the last 10 years, we've been through some ups and downs, but boy, right now we are doing really well. We've got some great, great singers. Ed Newman is our artistic director, and he's been on the job since about last September, and he is doing a fabulous job. He has done amazing work, and the choir sounds really good, and we're real, real pleased right now.
Oh, I'm very impressed. I was at a mini concert that you all did a couple weeks ago in Duluth, Minnesota, at the Family Freedom Center. And so I wanted to kind of elevate this a little bit. And I'm glad you said you were associated with Robert Robinson, because I was wondering if that was the same group. And so now that you've explained that it is, he also brought the group to the Sacred Heart Music Center, where you all also performed a couple weeks ago. Years ago, he brought a very large group to our community, and I remember being at that concert, and it was standing room only. I remember that.
Yeah, I think that the biggest the choir has been is about 80 members, if I'm not mistaken. We actually have two or three ladies who were with us They've been with us about 20 years, so they've seen it all. And we're about 40 members, but since they're all volunteer, we're lucky to get, you know, 25 to 30 to show up at any given time. But I tell you, the best thing about these people is they love to sing. They bring a remarkable energy to the performance, and I swear, if I'm lying, I'm dying. If it doesn't matter if there's one person or 100 or 10,000, they're gonna sing the same. They just love doing it.
Well, they are really, really are very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
We're real pleased. And like the performance you saw was just a mini performance, and there weren't a lot of people there. And, boy, they sang like the house was full, you know.
They certainly did. And the enthusiasm. And so I want you to talk a bit about the diversity and inclusiveness of the choir. When you hear black gospel music, I love it when people who are not African American or black or what have you are singing this music because of the joy that's associated with the music. Can you talk about what the choir looks like?
Yeah, and you know, that's something that we're also real pleased with. And over time, once Robert left, we didn't, you know, we've struggled keeping the diversity in the choir. But even when we were mostly white, predominantly white, we still were able to maintain that gospel sound because we had kind of learned it. And so we did a performance last year where there were probably only two African Americans in the performance, and we had people who couldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
Could not believe that we were a bunch of white people.
Yes.
You know? And so that was nice, but that's not who we're about. And we have worked real hard. Ed has worked real hard to bring in some new folks and some new energy. And boy, they've done that. And we are real pleased with our diversity. It's about 40% black, African American. And we've got one Asian American in there, and I think we have one Hispanic American. So we're just real pleased with that. And you know, we need more guys though. We don't have enough men, but we do enjoy the diversity, and we want to promote that. And we talked about this at length a year ago, that if we couldn't walk out there and promote and look like what we were talking about, that it wasn't worth doing. So we are committed to that.
You're listening to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be right back. I'm here with Jack Perkins. He's the executive director of the Twin Cities Community Gospel Choir. They're going to be in Hayward, Wisconsin this Saturday. That is June 8th. Why don't you tell our listeners where the concert's going to be held and what time it starts?
Yeah, it's at the Park Center, which I guess is just right in the smack dab downtown of Hayward. And it's actually a 3 o'clock performance. I'm not sure. I think they were just being gracious to us so we could get home at a decent time. So it's going to be, we're going to do almost 2 hours. It's going to be, we'll have a small intermission, but we'll be doing about a 2 hour show. And it will be, it's called For the Love of Gospel. And it's we go through the evolution of gospel music during the 20th century and how it's changed and who have been important artists and contributors to that genre. And we also mix in things that are more contemporary and of the last 20 years. So you're getting a good 100-year look at gospel music.
Oh, that's very important too. Mr. Perkins, can you take a moment? I don't know if you've heard of the group, the Tokyo
Mass Choir, Tokyo Gospel Mass Choir, a couple hundred members. They travel all over the world, and the only music they sing is African-American gospel music.
Isn't that great?
And they do just a splendid job. Are you aware of them?
I heard something about them just the other day, but I don't know anything other. I don't know anything about that. In fact, I didn't know that that's all they did was the gospel music.
Yes,
but,
that's all they do.
But I think that's great. It is a unique American sound and a unique genre of music, and yet it has so permeated all sorts of other genres. You know, I hear Christmas songs, and I hear the gospel sound in it. You know, I'll hear a country song with gospel sound in it. It's really all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Your group performed in the Super Bowl, I hear.
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you all?
It was real exciting, and it was really, really cold. It was Minneapolis was hosting the Super Bowl. This was not this past one, but the year before. So in 2018, in January, we were hosting the Super Bowl here. And so the week of the Super Bowl, if you've ever been around it, it's just crazy. They have activities going on every day, all over. There are people who go to the Super Bowl that never attend the game. They just go for all the activities during the week. Then they watch the game on TV. I don't know. But that's my understanding. Anyway, we were fortunate to be asked to be one of those acts during the week, and it was outside at the Nicollet Mall area in downtown Minneapolis, and it was really, really cold. But we had a good time and a very responsive crowd, and it was, once again, very energetic, and it's a good thing because we'd have froze if we hadn't been.
Right on. Yeah, that certainly is a labor of love, obviously. And tell us why it's a labor of love for you and all the participants of this incredible choir.
Wow. Well, I can't speak for everybody, but we, I guess number one, we love the music. That's number one. And number two, we love the message that's inherent in the music. The message of joy and the message of hope and of love and faith and those types of things. And we think that that's what the world needs. You know, that's what's important. And we want to spread that both in our song and in our service and in our behavior, our way of living. And I think that that's what we kind of all come together around. I'm sure everyone has different particular things that appeal to them. We have a very loving group, and they're very inclusive, and they're very accepting, and so that has served us well. And my specific involvement with the choir, I've only been with them a couple of years, and actually when I first came in, we were not in as near a good a situation as we are right now. And I'm not taking credit for that. I'm just saying that one of the things that I wanted to do was give this choir the opportunity to be what it could be and give it a chance to, you know, rekindle the fire and regain some of what it had lost. And I think that's happening. So we're just real pleased with the direction we're going.
Oh, I'm very excited for you all. I know you mentioned Robert Robinson. I know he had been ill, and yes. How's he doing today?
You know, his health is pretty good in terms of like life-threatening or not. You know, he's in good health, but he's not in performance health.
Okay.
He has a real hard time walking. He will perform from time to time, but basically it's in a wheelchair.
Okay.
And but so far it hasn't affected his voice or his breathing, and he's able to sing just as beautiful as always. But I know it has. It's been very tough. It's taken a real toll on him, and he doesn't perform as much as I know he'd like to.
Mm-hmm. The Twin Cities Community Gospel Choir coming to Hayward, Wisconsin this Saturday at 3 p.m. I'm with Jack Perkins. He's the executive director of the organization. What other events, concerts do you all have coming up after Hayward?
Well, not a lot after Hayward. We take July off, so we're kind of looking forward to that. You know, we just got back from Duluth, as you mentioned, and we're doing this one. We actually sent a smaller group to Chicago last week and performed at a couple of churches in there, and that was very positive. We were really these were urban churches in Chicago, and they were real happy with us, and that's a real high compliment. So
that's good. Was one of those churches? I'm wondering if one was Trinity UCC. Did you perform there at all?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I'm not real sure. Okay. I don't have the names of them in front of me. One of them was Ed Newman's son's church.
Okay,
and one of them was Ed Newman's church growing up.
Oh, very cool.
It was through his contacts that we performed at both of them.
Okay.
We're going to perform a small concert for the Minnesota Department of Revenue. That's going to be fun. We're going to do that in a couple weeks. And we're also going to do, we always go to the Minnesota Veterans Home. We do that about three times a year, and we're going to do that. And then we'll be done. And then in the fall, all I can tell you for sure, I think we're going to do a collaboration with the University of Minnesota, their gospel choir. I think we're going to do a collaboration with them in the fall. We have a tentative date in Rochester, and we have a tentative date in Stillwater. And that's like all I'm sure about right now.
Well, you're busy, that's for sure.
We are. And you know, we have to address that as a group, because some of the group they would go perform every night if we would.
Right.
Others are like, you know, this going out of town thing, this is really hard, and we can't do that very much.
Right. I'm wondering though, Mr. Perkins, I didn't mean to cut you there, but I'm wondering, in 2020, in Duluth, Minnesota, that will be the 100-year commemoration of the lynchings of the three black men in Duluth. I know.
Correct.
It's going to be a big deal. I know when you were here in Duluth most recently, you were doing a fundraiser in support of the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial Project. I'm the founder of that organization. And so I'm just wondering if you all are going to be coming back in 2020 for
that is
that
my
activity.
Understanding is that we will be back for the June 15th, the big day.
Yes.
And it's my understanding we're going to be back. So we're thrilled about it. We're excited, and hopefully that's going to work out.
I know Brian Stevenson from the Equal Justice Initiative. He's actually going to be in Duluth.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
Oh, I'd love to meet him. My wife would love to meet him.
Yeah.
We've had to reschedule going to the memorial in Alabama twice now.
Oh, wow.
We still intend to get there.
You know? I have a trip coming up for that. Actually, this will be my third trip coming up in August. I take a group down to the memorial. We visit about 10 or 11 sites while we're there. August 22nd through the 25th is the next trip. From Duluth. I'm just putting that out there for folks listening, because it's an important trip to take if you want to know the history related to the African heritage experience in America.
Yes,
it's so touching. So touching.
We're really looking forward to that, and it would be a pleasure to meet him. I hope you're right on that. And I hope we're all back in Duluth on June 15th.
Yeah, he's already scheduled for that. He's going to be the keynote speaker, so I probably let the cat out of the bag, but I was not told not to say anything, so you're hearing it first. in the media on people of color. So, yeah, Brian Stevenson is coming to Duluth in 2020.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great, Henry.
Anything else, Mr. Perkins, that you would like to share with our listeners about the upcoming concert in Hayward or anything about your work with the Twin Cities Community Gospel Choir?
You know, I just want to invite everyone to come. Just be there. Just be there, experience it, enjoy it. And, you know, we say it'll have you clapping your hands and stomping your feet and standing up and dancing in the aisles, and it happens, you know. So just come and just have a good time.
Mr. Perkins, thank you very much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to be on People of Color. Jack Perkins, Executive Director of the Twin Cities Community Gospel Choir. Have a great evening and a great weekend.
Thank you, Henry. Same to you.
All right. Coming up next, a conversation on pathways to clean transportation with Danielle Trajan. Welcome back to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Henry Banks once again. I'm on the phone. I'm honored to be on the phone with Danielle Trajano. She is with Minnesota 350, and they're in the Twin Ports to talk about pathways to clean transportation. Danielle, thank you for taking the time to have this conversation with me today. Can you tell our listeners about Minnesota 350?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Really excited to be on today. So Minnesota 350 is a climate justice organization, and we're a volunteer-led organization that has members throughout the state who work on any number of solutions and resistance related to climate change. So we do a lot of work resisting pipelines, specifically Line 3, which is a pipeline that's going to be proposed to go through indigenous land in northern Minnesota. And we also do work on different solutions to climate change, like clean energy and clean transportation. And that's kind of the work that I do at Minnesota 350, organizing around electrifying public transit and making electric vehicles more accessible, and transitioning our state to 100% clean energy, too.
That's great. So I want to go back a little bit. You mentioned Line 3.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was just a ruling a couple of days ago. Can you talk about that ruling and what the impact of that ruling will be on our water system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't work super closely on the Line 3 organizing, but I do know that this ruling was exciting. So I think it's just saying that, you know, we're not going to move forward on the pipeline right now because it could endanger. We haven't like figured out how it will impact like Lake Superior specifically. So focusing on your area and the Twin Ports. But I think there's still a lot of work to do to make sure that it's not approved and that it's not constructed. So it's exciting, but it's not meaning that the pipeline won't be approved.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that. So you're going to be coming and, you're going to be doing some pathways to clean transportation work today in mm-hmm. Duluth. Okay. And so you've done a bunch of stuff in the Twin Cities, and you're working down there as well. Today, June 6th, you're in Duluth to talk about clean transportation, clean air, and a stable climate. What is the workshop going to entail, and where's the workshop going to take place?
Yeah, I'm really excited to be in Duluth today. And these workshops are happening throughout the state, too. So there's one in the Twin Cities. There'll be one in Rochester and Bemidji and Marshall. But these workshops are being held by the Department of Transportation and the Pollution Control Agency to get feedback on how to decarbonize the transportation system. And they're a workshop-style event, so there'll be small group discussions there'll be opportunity to give input on how you want to see the transition to clean transportation go, and what ways you want to see that transition happen. So it's a really great opportunity for the community to give input, specifically in the Twin Ports region, on how your transportation system is, maybe the gaps in your current transportation system, and how we can move to clean transportation while addressing transit justice, transportation justice, and addressing gaps in your current transportation system.
Very interesting. So can people just kind of walk in for this particular workshop? I know it's going on now as the show is airing. We'll go from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. at ACO, which is located at 202 West 2nd Street in downtown Duluth. Can people just come to the event, or do you require something else from them?
People can definitely come. So if you want to drop by from 6 to 8, that would be awesome. I think there will be like a program, so if you come at 6, it'll probably be less confusing. You can also sign up, though. But no need to sign up. You can check out our website at mn350.org for more info on this. But yeah, just show up. We want a lot of input there, and we want to make sure the state knows that clean transportation is something that's important to people across the state.
So you're talking about the importance of clean transportation. What would clean transportation look like from your perspective in Minnesota?
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, it's all about making sure that it's accessible to people and that everyone's included in this transition to clean transportation, because emissions from transportation are not only harming our planet, but they're also causing serious health problems in our communities, like asthma and heart disease. And so for me, that means investing in public transit and electrifying public transit, making electric vehicles more accessible and having electric vehicle infrastructure, and also investing in biking and walking for folks, and making sure that cities are planned in a way that people can easily access everywhere they need to go. So those are some of the solutions that we'll actually be talking about during these workshops. And yeah,
I know Duluth is a part of a pilot project, if you will, or demonstration project with regard to electric buses.
Yeah.
And so they're on the cutting edge. I mean, you know, if it works in Duluth, Minnesota, it will work anywhere because of the cold climate. Can you talk about possibly some of the challenges in cold climates for electric buses, say?
Yeah, I know. First of all, it's so awesome that Duluth is the first in the state to get electric buses. Really inspired about that. I think some of the challenges for any sort of EVs in colder climates is battery life. In colder weather, battery life tends to be a lot shorter, so you have to charge more often. We're getting some electric buses in the Twin Cities. Metro Transit is unveiling them actually this Saturday, which is really exciting. And I know they've actually installed non-electric heaters in their buses so that it doesn't, in the wintertime when the heat needs to be running, it won't drain the battery as much. So I think there are some issues with battery life in colder weather, but I'm really confident that, you know, the technology is improving and that we can find ways to make it work in Minnesota.
Yeah, they seem to be doing quite well in Duluth. And so I just wanted to ask that question because I know some modifications were made with regard to the heating, which you mentioned. And so they figured that part out. So I thought that was really cool as well. So that's not going to necessarily affect the battery life because the heating is not connected to the battery. And so I think that's important to do that, especially in cold climates.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so
that's awesome.
So you're excited about being in the Twin Ports, and what kind of turnout are you hoping for?
Yeah, we're hoping for 40 people to come out to both sessions combined, and I think we're on track to reach that number, and it'd be cool if we actually blew it out of the water, but Yeah, I think it should be good. I've been talking to community leaders, and they're really excited about it, from social justice groups to environmental groups.
So Minnesota has always been, in many cases, for years, cutting edge in just about everything with regard to life in the state. What other states, if you know of any, that are doing similar work, and why is it important to electrify, if you will, have electric buses and all of that across the entire country?
Yeah, so I know one recent thing is Colorado has committed to transitioning to 100% clean energy in their state, which is really exciting. And I know other states in the country have also been on track to reach these goals of transitioning to clean energy. So that's one thing that's exciting about throughout the country. There's kind of like there is momentum and energy to move to clean energy. And a big part of that is electrifying our transportation system. And then what was the other part of that question?
So Minnesota's always been on the cutting edge. And so I just wanted you to kind of share with our listeners, Colorado, you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Are other states going to these efforts to start to really take a look at the need to change the way we do things with regard to public transit and other means in our communities?
So Colorado, I know other states have also been supporting this transition. Off the top of my head, I can't think of like specific bills that were passed or initiatives, but kind of Minnesota has been on the cutting edge. But one of the reasons that the state is hosting these decarbonizing transportation workshops is because we're actually failing to meet our carbon reduction goals as a state that we set in the 2007 Clean Energy Bill. So that's one reason that they're holding these hearings, is because, you know, as a state, we're not reaching the goals that we set, which are really ambitious goals, and we want to figure out how to actually follow through.
So it's really important for people to come out and voice their opinions and give advice, suggestions for what we need to be doing in the state of Minnesota.
Absolutely, yes. It's super important. So please come out and talk about how you want a clean transportation future that includes everyone.
Right. Are you going to have a keynote speaker, or I know you mentioned that it's a workshop, but will there be somebody to set the tone for the evening, or would that be you?
So there will actually be presentations from state officials. So that'll be kind of like the speaker section. And then there'll be a lot of small group discussions, so everyone's voice can be heard, and I'll be there and I'll check in with people before and after. But yeah, some of the experts will be presenting on different pathways to clean transportation. So it should be really informational. And I'm really excited to learn more at these events too.
Are you at liberty to say who some of the speakers are, or can you share that with us?
Yeah, so I am not 100% sure who will be speaking today in Duluth, so it's going to be a surprise.
All right. That's all right, too. So people just need to get out and participate. Come to the 6 p.m. workshop. That's from 6 until 8 p.m., and it's going to be held in the American Indian Community Housing Organization Robert Paulus Center, located at 202 West 2nd Street in downtown Duluth. I'm here with Danielle Trajano, and she's with Minnesota 350. She is there, and she will answer questions if you need support that way. A lot of experts will be available to assist and present, and it's just something that we need to take a look at, be a part of.
Yes, absolutely.
Anything else you want to share with our listeners about the event?
I think just making it clear that, you know, your input is really important, and transportation is something that we all have to do in our days, and just wanting to make sure that, you know, your voice is heard at these hearings, because it's a really cool opportunity to directly give the state input on how it should shape the future of clean transportation.
Well, Danielle, thank you very much. Is it okay if I give our listeners your email address if they have questions?
Absolutely. Yeah. My email is Danielle, D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E, at mn350.org.
You want to say that again, please?
Yes. D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E at mn350.org.
Thank you very much. Danielle Trajano from Minnesota 350. Have a great evening, and I wish you success. Pathways to Clean Transportation event at ACO 202 West 2nd Street in downtown Duluth. It's going on right now, and you can certainly participate. Have a great evening and a great weekend.
Thank you for having me. You too.
You're listening to People of Color on Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be right back. Few announcements you might be interested in. The Clayton Jackson McGee Day of Remembrance is coming up. That's on June 14th at 12 noon at First Street and Second Avenue East in downtown Duluth. Also coming up, a wonderful celebration of Juneteenth in the Twin Ports. That's a wonderful celebration every year. There are two celebrations, one June 15th at 12 noon. That one's in Duluth, Lake Avenue and 4th Street in downtown Duluth. And then on June 16th at 2 p.m. in Kelly Park, Superior, Wisconsin, at 711 Grand Avenue. Both events are free. Free food, fun, lots of education, and community building. These are the Juneteenth celebrations for the Twin Ports. We're going to close the show tonight. In celebration of Black Music History Month, we have some tunes we want to leave you with. This is Black Music History Month in the United States of America, and this has been recognized for many years as the month that we celebrate, elevate, and honor the accomplishments of African American people in our country.
And to praise and magnify our Lord. Come on, praise Him with us. Come on, come on. And the song said, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Of your peace.
Make me an instrument. my reason for living, and you won't even tell me why. Before you walk out the door, there's something I want you to know, that I could never, ever love another after loving you. Ooh-hoo. Rivers flow. Each day you love me more. Now you wanna leave me behind. Listen, baby, I don't know what it's gonna take to make you stay. I just know I've got to find a way. Cause I could never, 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 ever love enough after loving you. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah.
Thank you. If I could, I'd give you the world. You made something from nothing. I thank God for such a beautiful.